Hi, and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now. Locally dial 216-901-0933 or toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Join the conversation live with Pastor Al. And now, here's your late night host, Pastor Al Davis.
Oh, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, and I'll be with you until midnight tonight, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Hope you'll be able to stick with us. And I tell you, if you're out on the roadways tonight here in northeastern Ohio, it's windy out there. Temperature is great. I mean, it was like 63 or something when we left our house to come here to the radio station this evening. But that wind is sure gusting. There's a little bit of rain here and there. But the biggest thing is to watch out for the wind if you're out driving on the highway, some high-profile type vehicle of some sort. Keep your hands on the wheels as you're driving around this evening. And certainly stay tuned to our program. Hopefully, we'll be a blessing and encouragement to you tonight. And if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we welcome your call toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And love to hear from you tonight. And let's go ahead and open with the word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do want to thank you so much again for another opportunity to be on the air this evening. Father, just thank you for the opportunity we have to serve you, to be a witness, to be a testimony for you. Bless now the program this evening. Help us to encourage somebody tonight. Help us mostly to be able to point somebody towards Christ, that there might be somebody saved through the things that we discuss here in the program this evening. And we just pray that you would use this program for your glory, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, again, as I said, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis, and we talk about just about anything here. As I said, we welcome your questions about the Bible. Anything we can come up with the Bible, we're willing to take a look at. And then certainly current events in light of God's Word. I certainly believe that the Bible can help us understand the things that are happening in the world today. And you don't have to do much looking at the newspaper or television or listening to the radio to find out this world's got a lot of trouble in it right now, a lot of problems, and it's easy to fret, it's easy to be fearful, it's easy to worry, but if you get into the Word of God and you trust Christ and you believe that Jesus is in control of things, then that's a reassuring thing. And it also, you can make a lot of sense of what's going on in the world through God's Word. Well, you can give us a call, as I said, 888-677-9673. That's toll-free anywhere across the U.S. you're listening to us. You can give us a call. And I believe we've got a caller all ready to get started here this evening. We have, it looks like, Leslie in Akron. And Leslie, are you there?
Yes, I am. Good evening.
Hi, welcome.
Pastor.
Good evening. You have to turn your radio down there in the background. I think I'm hearing myself a little. So there we go. Sounds great. So how are you doing tonight?
I am good. How are you?
Very good. Thank you.
Good. Okay. Well, my question is this, because I actually need your help with something.
Mm-hmm.
In 2000, a guy gave me a vision for a program called Esther House.
And all right.
Was geared towards improving the lives of women, you know, as we develop our relationship with Christ.
Mm-hmm.
The program has been in operation since 2000, but I've observed, you know, that in myself, because of fear, I gave up prematurely.
Right.
Doors that I felt, you know, that were at one time opening for me were closing. I mean, these doors were closing really tightly.
Mm-hmm.
Now a new opportunity has presented itself. And I know and I understand, you know, the importance of why the program is needed and why I need to go forth. So what I'm asking for is what word of advice can you give me as I go forward on this journey so that way I don't, you know, fall prey to going back into fear again?
Well, obviously, you know, the prayer is a big, big portion of that. And if we're praying and we can get other people praying for us, you know, my wife and I used to be missionaries down in the Samoan Islands. And I can tell you, as a missionary, having people praying for you is a tremendous factor in overcoming fear and worrying about whether or not you're doing the right thing and the opposition that the devil puts in front of you. I can't underestimate that too much. In fact, Paul had written to Timothy, I believe it was, asking for his prayers in some of that regard. I'll find that perhaps here in a minute. But other thing, too, when you have people praying for you and you know that they're praying for you, that also encourages you. That, I think, opens a door for the Holy Spirit to begin to speak to your heart and be able to reassure you and gives you assurance that if the door is a door that God has opened for you, then we understand that God has a plan. He has a purpose. And as His children, as His servants, when we go through that door, we don't go through it alone. Remember in Matthew chapter 28, there at the end of the chapter, when Jesus was given the great commission to the disciples to go into all the world and preach the gospel, he said that previous to that, he said that all power in heaven and earth was given to him. And then he said that he's with us wherever we go. So we have that confidence that Christ is with us. But nevertheless, like you said, we're going to struggle with the flesh because, you know, we have that fleshly nature that wants to second guess God, and the devil attacks us in the flesh, giving us doubt and fears and things of that nature. And his desire, if you're serving God and you know God wants you to do something, you can be assured the devil's going to try and cause you to second guess and doubt. And from what you're saying, you've experienced that, haven't you?
Yes, I have.
Yeah, and you can react to that a couple of different ways. One way is you can say, well, if I'm getting this opposition, maybe I shouldn't do this. Or you could react and say, you know what? If I'm getting this opposition, maybe I'm doing something the devil doesn't like. And maybe that's more reason that I should pursue this as long as God keeps the door open for me and as long as God keeps me going. Here's the one that Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 2, in regarding to prayer, in verse 1, he says, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. And so he's asking for prayer for people. And, and he goes on to talk, of course, about kings and those in authority and all of that. The fact of asking for prayer for everybody, that reminds us that what we do ought to be bathed in prayer. And, talking about this new venture and all, have you prayed about it? You feel that's what God wants you to do, right?
Yes, I do feel that.
Right. And now, let me ask you this. Have you been with other believers, especially, good, strong, believers, strong in their Christian walk, and what do they seem to think about it?
They're really encouraging me to go forth in doing this because there's a definite need, mm-hmm. community for this, but then also, they're very supportive. Going forth and different things like that.
Well, and, with that, the Bible says, let things be established, two or three witnesses. And I would say if you've got a clear leading of God to do it, and if you've got good, strong Christians who are encouraging you in doing it, if you feel the Holy Spirit is leading you in that way, I would pursue it. As long as, what you're looking at doing is nothing that violates Scripture, and certainly nothing you've said would suggest that. In fact, it sounds like you want to do something that God's leading you to do, and God's not going to lead you to violate Scripture. So I would enlist the prayers of believers at church, friends, and people to pray for you. And here's another good one that Paul wrote to the Ephesians in Ephesians 6. And verse 18, where he said, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And then he says in verse 19, and for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. So he's been given a job to do, and that's to go make known the gospel. And he's asking people to pray for him that he could boldly do what God gave him to do. And I would encourage you to do that. Get people who will pray for you, and hopefully they'll let you know on a regular basis that they've been praying for you, and you can share your prayer requests with them. And when the devil, you know, puts some roadblocks in your path and brings up fears and doubts and things like that, get with your prayer warriors and have them make that a matter of prayer. And I think if you've got them behind you, if you've got the local church behind you, you already know you have God behind you. And, you know, that's a tremendous thing right there to reassure us. And know from the beginning, as you know from your previous venture, you will suffer, attacks from the devil. Bible says, yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And so, you know, you've got people praying for you, and also having people pray for you and get involved in that aspect, you know, holding up your hands, as it were. Remember Moses, when he was leading the nation of Israel, they were in a battle, and when his hands were up, the children of Israel were winning, and he grew tired. Joshua and another guy, I can't remember his name right, I think it was Aaron, went up and lifted his hands up and helped support him, even put some stones under his arms to help hold him up. And that's a picture of other people getting behind you. And when you get tired, which you will, I mean, the devil's going to wear you out if it's God's work. But you get others to come along behind you and support you in prayer and help lift you up. You know, you can be victorious. You can do a great work for God, and you'll also have some accountability with the others who are involved, intimately with your ministry. So let me encourage you in doing that. And that's one of the most tremendous things. And then just keep in the Word of God, and keep your heart right with God. And we know we're going to do things from time to time that we might mess up on occasion, but just keep that with God. And when we mess up, take it to the Lord and let him deal with you and allow the Spirit to guide you. And with people praying for you, I think you'll do well.
Okay. Well, thank you so much.
All right. Well, I appreciate that. And thank you for calling. I appreciate that call, Leslie. And if you've got a question out there as well, you can give us a call tonight here on Late Night Live with Pastor Al at 888-677-9673. And we have Jerry in Cleveland, I think, lined up next. And Jerry, are you there?
You guys have a great program.
Hi, well, thank you. And welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
I listen to you each and every week.
Well, I appreciate that.
It's sure kind of windy, isn't it?
Oh, boy, I tell you what, coming in, I was glad I was in a smaller car tonight. If I'd have been in a truck, I could just imagine.
I noticed, is there a scripture in the Bible that talks about winds of change?
Winds of change? That does sound familiar. Let me see if I can find something here. And in regards to that, let's see here. I'm just going to look here in a little concordance here and see what I can find.
I know we all need change in our lives.
Well, yeah, it certainly, while I'm looking here, the biggest change that we certainly need is a change from our old self. And when we get saved, you know, we trust Christ as our Savior. And there's certainly a big change that takes place with that. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, he said, the old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. So there's certainly a big change right there that takes place when we trust Christ. And then, of course, not only is our old sin nature done away with, but he gives us a new nature, a new spirit. And then as we submit to the Holy Spirit, he begins to work in us, changing our desires, changing our thoughts, changing our actions. And I've known some people who got saved later in life. You can almost see like a night and day difference between their life before getting saved and afterwards. And haven't found a verse yet exactly using the phrase "the wind of change" or "winds of change." Doesn't mean I haven't found, or that's not there. It's just I haven't located it just yet. But we do see some of those things in the Bible, though. But hopefully at least that little bit helps a little bit with what you're asking.
Yeah, sometimes God gives us second chances in life.
Oh, absolutely.
He also gives us mercy, too.
Absolutely. In fact, that point that you just made there, this evening I was preaching on the life of King Josiah in 2 Kings chapter 22, I believe it is. And we were talking about how there was a godly influence by his grandfather, King Manasseh. And if you read in 2 Kings chapter 21, I believe it is, King Manasseh was one of the most wicked kings that the southern kingdom of Judah ever had. And in his reign, God said that because of their wickedness, he was going to destroy Israel from off the land, send them off the land, and bring judgment on them. And if you go over to 2 Chronicles, and I'm not sure the exact chapter right here off the top of my head. I think it's chapter 33, around there, about 33 or so. We read where Manasseh was in a dungeon. The Assyrians had captured him, threw him in a dungeon, actually in Babylon of all places, that prefigured the Babylonian captivity. But while he was there, he came to his senses, and he put his faith in God, and he renounced his sin. He repented, and he turned from his wicked ways. And God gave him a second chance and said, "You know what? Guess what? The judgment is still going to come on Israel, but not in your lifetime." And then same thing happened with a few other people in the scriptures. But that's a profound example there. God gave him a second chance. And Manasseh was good to his word. He served God with all his heart. And actually, in the end, Manasseh was one of the better kings of Judah in his second half of his reign. So definitely a change of his nature there. So, and a second chance that God gave him in that dungeon.
Okay, do you mind if I call next week?
Oh, no problem at all. We'd love to hear from you.
Okay, thank you. Have a good evening.
All right. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that call. And, of course, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. And we'll be on till midnight here tonight. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you tonight. You can call toll-free 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we'll talk about just about anything in regards to the Bible or current events out there, trying to make sense of them in light of God's Word. With that in mind, I've been following a number of things that we've been chatting about from time to time here on the radio. And let's see, we have been following some of the events in the Middle East. And, of course, do pray for the situation there. Pray for believers that are there. Persecution of Christians in the Middle East is increasing. The Christians in Egypt are saying that right now this is some of the worst times that they can remember seeing. And also in Iran, they're trying to crack down on the growing number of Christians in Iran. Christianity is actually on the rise in Iran. And then, of course, we can see the threat, the continual threat of some kind of regional war in the Middle East. We know that the battle in Syria is spilling over the border into Turkey and into threatening to spill over the border into Israel. We've just put a bunch of troops down in Jordan on the Syrian border to help try to contain some of that. And the Iranians sent an unmanned vehicle, a drone, over top of Israel this past week or so. And the ironic thing with that is we got a hold of the wreckage of the drone and been going over that. And guess where some of the design came from? Remember earlier this summer, I think it was, or late spring, when we had a drone that we lost control of, and it was landed in Iran. And unfortunately, the current administration never tried to get it back. They just let the Iranians have it. Well, some of that design features and things appears to have shown up in this drone. And so we need to be concerned about that. The Bible talks about a coming battle. I believe it'd be a coming nuclear war in that part of the world involving Israel and some of the Arab nations around that. And with that in mind, I do have an ebook out right now. You can find it on smashwords.com. That's smash, as in the S-M-A-S-H, words.com. And it's an ebook, The Coming Arab-Israeli Nuclear War. And you can put that in there in the search, or you can just put my name in there, Alfred Davis, my full name, and you can find The Coming Arab-Israeli Nuclear War at smashwords.com, and I'll give you a coupon code where you can get that half off, and the coupon is YV84P, that's Y as in yes, V as in Victor, 84, P as in poodle, I guess would be a good one for that. And YV84P, that'll get you half off. The price is $299. And the proceeds for that go, amongst other things, to help with this program. And I think you'll benefit from the book. That's The Coming Arab-Israeli Nuclear War at smashwords.com. You can find it there. And it's an ebook, so you can download it, read it on your iPhone or on your computer, or download it to your computer, print it off, but you can get it half price at coupon code YV84P, and we'll be mentioning that again, I'm sure, but of course you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, and we've got Ron, I think, in Cleveland waiting right now, and don't have it right at the moment. I think we'll get him after the break. So we'll get back to that, I think, here in a minute. And I'm getting mixed signals from a couple different people, so I'll just keep talking. We got about 5 minutes before the break. But any rate, if you've got a question, you can give us a call, 888-677-9673. We'll get you on the air here tonight, and we'll be with you until midnight tonight. And one of the things I was going talking a little bit too about the situation in the Middle East is that there's also a cry going out from that part of the world, and it's being echoed in the UN right now, to crack down on freedom of speech. And that's a frightening prospect. They're debating this at the UN, and there's people in this country saying, well, you know, that First Amendment that we have guaranteeing free speech, maybe we ought to rethink that a little bit. Maybe we ought to restrict a little bit of that. And because, you know, there's a lot of people in the world who get upset when you speak factually about Muhammad and his life and the origins and teachings of Islam, and they call that disrespecting the prophet and denigrating Islam, and maybe that should be illegal. Well, there's a danger when you begin chipping away at free speech, because the freedom of speech that's enshrined in the Bill of Rights in our Constitution here in America is part and parcel with freedom of religion. And I encourage you to study that First Amendment there. One of the advantages of using King James Bible over some of the modern translations is the King James Bible preserves the long sentence structures in the original languages. And the purpose of the long sentence structures is to take a series of thoughts that are related intimately together and keep the point together. And when you chop up those sentences, you think those are standalone thoughts. And when you read in the Bill of Rights in the Constitution, the First Amendment there, the freedom of speech, as well as freedom of the press, freedom, you know, the right of people to peaceably assemble and to petition the government for redress of grievances, that's all a part of the same sentence which talks about the freedom of religion. And when you understand that, you realize that they wrote that as one long sentence. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for redress of grievances. That's all one sentence. That's not several separate sentences. And if you understand what's being said there, then that freedom of speech is not separate from freedom of religion. Those are not two separate freedoms. They're all a part of the same thing. And the reason that I view these threats to make free speech limited and the threat of making it illegal to speak critically, and when I say critically, I actually mean speak truthfully and factually about Islam and about Muhammad. The reason that that to me is a fearful thing to make that illegal is because that really goes at the core of attacking the freedom of religion. Because think about this. And when the First Amendment was drawn up, it was drawn up because the Baptists in Virginia were very concerned that the United States would establish a state religion, much as had been the standard in Europe and most of the rest of the world. And with a state religion, you were not allowed to be critical of that religion because that was being critical of the state. And so if you did not go with the state church, the state religion, you were considered somewhat suspect in terms of your patriotism. And as a result, your freedom of speech was curtailed. You couldn't speak against the state religion. Your freedom to assemble was curtailed. Your freedom of press was curtailed. And you weren't allowed to petition the government for redress of grievances. Well, freedom of speech is important, ties in with freedom of religion, but join us for the second half of Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express. The Holiday Inn Express is located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, or the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Because the Bible says, "There is none righteous, no, not one." We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever. That means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing, Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is PastorAl@MapleKnoll.us. You can also visit our website at LateNightLive.MapleKnoll.us. That's LateNightLive.MapleKnoll.us. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you. Now, let's get back to our show.
Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, and I'll be with you until midnight tonight, right here on AM 1220, The Word, and hope you'll join in the conversation and give us a call tonight. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, call us toll-free, 888-677-9673. And, of course, we're brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, where I'm the pastor, and also brought to you by Frank's Antiques in North Royalton. Frank's Antiques in North Royalton is located at 6668 Royalton Road, right there in the center of North Royalton. And you can visit Frank's Antiques in North Royalton Tuesday, Friday, and Saturday, noon until 5:30 p.m. And you can contact Frank at Frank's Antiques in North Royalton by calling 440-237-4393. That's 440-237-4393. And I'll let you know, or let him know, that you heard about Frank's Antiques in North Royalton right here on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Well, we're going to get back to our callers, and a little mix up in our calls there in the last half, but I think we're on the right page here now, and I believe we have Frank waiting. And Frank, are you there?
Yes, I am, and how are you this evening?
Good, real good, and glad to have you call us tonight.
May I comment instead of ask a question? I
just want to
comment on what that meant. Well, earlier when that guy called and said it was windy night and talking about winds of change, you know, as we know from the Word, which is true, the Lord's the same today, tomorrow, forever. He never changes.
Right.
And that's wonderful, and he doesn't need to change because he's perfect. If perfection changed,
right,
he would no longer be perfect. But we, however, from birth through death, ever change because we age and the body changes. You look at the patriarchs and their young years, their faith and boldness and their actions versus their later years when the body's broken down and they're frail and seemingly weak. That, you know, they're still strong in faith and they're going home to be with the Lord, but and they do fast, but the body fails. So throughout life, from birth to death, we change, and also throughout life, change comes to us.
Mm-hmm.
We may have times of more prosperity or less, times of more freedom or less, times more joyous or less. You might have better health or less. Our whole lives, change comes to us, and our whole lives we change. But God never changes, and whatever changes come to us and whatever change happens in us, we need to always work at our relationship with Him who never changes, because that's the bottom line. When our lives are over, that's all that's going to matter. Not where we lived, not what we had, not what our job was, all these other things, although we need to be faithful in them. The bottom line is our relationship with the Lord.
That's right.
That we know Him and that we follow Him. So when it comes to change, I just wanted to tell that man, that's what matters. It's what matters is the Lord that doesn't change.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's like I was saying, too, when we meet Christ, we ought to change. There ought to be a change of that sin nature, and when God creates a new nature within us. And you're absolutely right. We change, God doesn't. And, and that's because He's God.
I mean, and we are changed. We're
exactly.
New creations in Him.
Exactly. Yeah. There used to be a song, He's Still Working on Me, and that's absolutely true, isn't it?
And that's a good change as far as the changes.
Exactly.
He's renewing us,
yes,
and reviving us and changing us, and we're getting closer. We're to become more like Him. You know?
Well, and we're also we're also gaining strength in our Christian walk. You know, as a young Christian, it's sometimes easier to fall for the devil's tricks and traps.
Yeah.
But as
yeah.
we grow, you know, and we grow in our knowledge of the Word and our relationship with Christ deepens, we don't fall so much for the same tricks and traps. So the devil has to, change and has to, increase the level of subtlety and things like that to try and still trick and trap us. And he does on occasion. But it's a constant growth, constant change.
Well, he who the Son sets free is free indeed. And when we're in
Amen.
Christ and where we need to be with Him and our relationship with Him, he'll keep us from getting messed up, because the culture tries to pressure you and tell you what change matters. And
exactly.
Spend a lifetime acquiring and getting and or trying to be proper as the culture says they should be. And before they know it, it's past, it's over, it's time to go home. And a lot of time can be wasted in all this nonsense instead of what mattered, time with the Lord and time with what he wants you to spend time with, the people he puts in your life, you know, reading, studying, praying, making a change for him, being effective for him.
Or and another good change, it relates to what you were just saying, is where we put our affections, where we put our desires. You know, we change them from, like what you're saying, you know, some people are caught up with what they can get, what they can accumulate, and changing, like Matthew chapter, let's see here, chapter 6, where Jesus said in verse 19, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. He said, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through to steal. And then he says this in verse 21, for where your treasure is, there will be your heart also. And that's exactly right. We need to change where our heart is, change where our what we treasure, change what we're laying up, you know, things here or things in heaven. And that was a good comments there tonight. I appreciate that.
Yeah. Well, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things.
Right.
He takes care of the birds, knows the hairs on your head, will take care of you. And
that's
also,
right.
What, in line with what you just said in Proverbs, it talks about him who's always getting and never has enough versus him who's always giving away and never comes to want.
That's right.
God bless you. Have a great night.
Thank you. I appreciate those comments tonight, Frank. Appreciate that. God bless. And he made a good comment there. You know, we've heard the expression, you can't outgive God. And if you're trying to get for yourself all the time, you're never going to be satisfied and you're always going to be wanting. But if you try to give of yourself and give your time, your efforts, your talents, your money, whatever your resources might be, whatever you have, just make that available to God. You can't outgive God, and he'll bless you back as you lay up treasures for yourselves in heaven. And that's where your treasure should be. That's where your heart will be if that's where your treasure is. And we need the right kind of change. Change as we grow closer to God. Change as we become more Christ-like. Change as the things of heaven and the things of God become the things that we desire. Change as the things of earth, as the song says, become strangely dim. We should be moving our affections from earth to heaven. We've got a home in heaven, don't we? This place is only temporary. Well, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. You can give us a call, 888-677-9673. And we have, I believe, Ron in Cleveland coming up next. And Ron, are you there?
Yes, Pastor, I'm here.
Hi, good evening. Welcome.
Good evening, Pastor, and God bless you.
We are glad to have you tonight.
I am planning on visiting your church, but I haven't made it yet. But I had a question for you. I'm on my cell phone. I'm going to make it quick. And
you
can answer my question while I hang up, I'm in my bed and I'm listening to your program every week. What I'm studying with, I'm really grew up in the church. I'm originally born and grew in Jamaica. I finished school in Carolina. I live in Akron.
Okay.
Grandma's. And I go to Grace Baptist Church. And I'm involved for 5 months in a Bible study. And there's a question that I can't get over it. At night when I come home from work, I search my Bible and trying to find it. Now, let me tell you what it is.
Okay.
Let me start real quick from Cain and Abel.
All right.
Okay, and as common sense would tell you, two brothers growing up in a decent neighborhood, the family live upright, and one brother killed the other. So it become a disgrace. And the brother who do the hack have to run away. So he run away to a land called Nab. And he went and lived with other people. Some of my colleagues, they say, he went and lived with his uncle. And he take on a wife, which was one of his uncle's daughter. Well, I'm struggling with that because I'm searching my Bible And I'm trying to find the answer or what we are in my Bible to continue that study, because I don't want to commit to something that somebody say or believe in it. So far, I researched that he killed his brother and he ran away to a land named Nob.
Mm-hmm.
In Nob, he went to live with a family. Well, one brother in my Bible study say he lived with his uncle.
Okay, yeah, and I interrupt you there just a second. He wouldn't have lived with his uncle because he had no uncle. Cain and Abel had no uncle because Adam was the first man. So we'll get back to that in a minute, but go back to what you were saying.
Okay, so one of my colleagues in the class say he lived with his uncle, mm-hmm. and he take on a wife, which was, this is what he say, not the Bible, not my word. He say, is the lady that he take on to be his wife was his uncle's daughter. So I say to him, well, if it was his uncle's daughter, that mean it was his cousin. But anyway, Pastor, I'm gonna get out my cell phone. I'm gonna listen to you on the radio, see if you can direct me into that. But before I go, I want to tell you that I'm not far from Brecksville. I'm in Akron. I work 6 days a week, and I'm going through a lot of stuff in my life right now. Mm-hmm. But I'm not worried because the Lord always takes care of me.
Amen to that. Amen to that.
The Lord, my house, I bought a house here, and I was fooled by the real estate company. And they're still running me around. Right now I'm laying down in my house with a candle mm-hmm. and a lot of blanket. But I'm happy because I trust no man I hurt. God is who I put my faith in.
Amen.
And he supply everything I need. Believe me. People may say, oh, you don't have no light. But guess what? I have peace of mind because God is with me 24/7. You know,
that's the best peace you can have.
Yes, sir. I have nothing to worry about.
Well, I appreciate that testimony. And let me go ahead and for time's sake here, before we run out of time, let me deal with that question that you had there about Cain and his wife and all.
Yeah, I want to listen to you on the radio because I had about 7 minutes leave on my cell phone.
Okay.
I'm leaving. God provide me right now. So I'm going to listen to you on the radio.
All right.
While you're talking.
Appreciate that.
Is
then.
Is that okay?
Thank you very much. Appreciate the call.
Okay,
and let me hit that subject here.
I will visit your church, and when I come, I'm going to present myself to meet you, and I'm going to spend all day. And possible, I may change congregation because I like to get in the Bible real life. I don't buy a fiction book. I find everything in my Bible what I need.
Well, amen.
And
amen.
I enjoy listening to you, and I like the commentary about your service.
Well, I appreciate that.
Bible study. So, like I tell a church brother, I say, I'm thinking of changing church because I'm not growing here. I don't want to come to church every Sunday and just sit and listen. And that's what I find myself doing, and God laying on my heart to find another congregation because I got to congregate.
All right. Well, we can discuss those things a little bit more there later on. But let me get back to your question before our listeners forget what the question was and we run out of time.
I'm listening
but,
on my radio.
All right. Well, God bless and certainly pray for you.
Thanks.
And the Lord will continue working your life. But Ron had a question about Cain. And Cain killed his brother Abel. Now, we have to remember that when Adam and Eve were created, there was nobody else living in the world. And Cain and Abel were not the only children that Adam and Eve had. And we learn, of course, in chapter 5 that Eve had another son named Seth, who was a replacement for Abel, who was killed by his brother Cain. But that doesn't mean that there weren't other children born after Cain and Abel. In fact, the text demands that Adam and Eve had many children after Cain and Abel before they had Seth. And recall the lifespan of people prior to the flood. They lived 800-900 years, very long lifespans. And during that time, many children, and then they had children, and then they had children. And so you had a lot of people spreading out over the world. I think we figured this out a little bit one time, that by the time Seth came on the scene, there could have been thousands of people easily living on the earth at that time. So when Cain killed Abel, there were other people living on the earth at that time. And Cain, when he traveled out to the land of Nod, it talks about his wife, and it doesn't say where or who his wife was or where she came from. We know clearly it wasn't his uncle's, which would mean his cousin, because Adam and Eve were the only people who lived before Cain, and Cain was the first child born in the world, and then, of course, Abel was born after him. Now, today, we look at the idea that Cain would have obviously married probably a sister, and we say, well, that's incest. That's terrible. Now, keep in mind, at the time that Cain would have taken a wife, all he had was brothers and sisters. He didn't have any cousins, and he didn't have any people living elsewhere to choose from. The idea of marrying the sister would not have been anything untoward to him. In fact, that was something that was practiced prior to the flood. And even Abraham married his half-sister. He said, he claimed that Sarah was his half-sister, and you can search that out. But everybody today, if you're married, you're married to a relative. It's just how close of a relative that relative is. And, you know, we're all related. The Bible says we're all of one blood. And so every person on the planet is a relative. Some of us are just more closely related to others. And when the human genetic complement, the DNA and everything, was pure in those first generations, there was no problem with a brother marrying a sister. That's the only people there were in the world. There was brothers and sisters, one mother, one father. Then once, of course, Cain would have married a sister and had children, then now you would have had nieces and nephews and uncles and aunts. And then as other people married, you would have had cousins, and then you would have first cousins, second cousins, third cousins, fourth cousins, fifth cousins. Eventually, you reach the point where you don't even know who that person is and how you're related to them. And so, obviously, that's not an issue there. And certainly, we see some other individuals there, Lamech, who took two wives in Genesis chapter 5, and he, of course, had two wives, Ada and Zillah, there in Genesis 5, verse 19. And perhaps the individual that was saying Cain married his uncle's daughter might have been thinking of Lamech and his one of his wives, perhaps. But as far as Cain goes, you know, the situation would have demanded that he married his sister. Now, to us, we would be repulsed by that idea today. There was no prohibition against it, and that was the only choice that they had. The only two people living at that time that were exempted from that choice was Adam and Eve. They were married to each other, so they didn't have that to contend with. But soon there were thousands of people in the world. The land of Nod would have been made up with siblings of Cain and nieces and nephews of Cain that would have moved into that area and been there, settled in that area at the time that Cain killed Abel. Now, Cain didn't kill Abel just a few weeks after they were born. There were years that took place. They might have been 100 years old, 200 years old. We don't know at the time. But hopefully that helps with people who have wondered about that. Also, people who have wondered about the question, where did Cain get his wife? Well, that would be the answer. And so we'll go from there, and we'll pick up our next caller. Of course, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, 888-677-9673. And we have Grandma Marge in Cleveland. And welcome, Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
Hello, Pastor Al.
Good evening. Welcome.
Good evening to you. We're living in trying times. I don't think anybody would question that.
That's
and
true.
That being the case, we have to know what it says about trying times, where there's controversy between men and the Lord. And we're under judgment at such a time, we have to make a big decision. Are we going to justify the righteous, or are we going to go on the side of the wicked? And I don't think we want to have any part of going on the side of the wicked. So we best check into Deuteronomy 25:1. If there be a controversy, a conflict between men, and they come into judgment, then we must judge to justify the righteous and condemn the wicked.
Mm-hmm.
Proverbs 17:15, he that justifieth the wicked and he that condemneth the just, even they both are abomination to the Lord. And I don't think anybody wants to be causing abomination problems to the Lord. That's not why we're here.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
We live peacefully and righteously. And we've got, somehow or other, that seems to be a lesson that's been overlooked for years. And so now we're having trouble trying to make decisions. Well, we don't vote for a person. We vote for their principles.
Well, exactly. And that's what I tell people. I don't want to tell people who to vote for, but I want to tell people how to vote. And
exactly.
I want to tell people, if you believe the Bible, then use the Bible to shape who you vote for. And, you know, let your beliefs as a Christian dictate who you vote for rather than a party boss or a union boss or a boss at work or anybody, even a church member. You should let God show you who to vote for based on His word and based on your beliefs. And Joshua 24:15, going along with what you said, he said, if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me, and I like this last part of the verse, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And he said,
amen.
I've made a choice. I am going to serve God. And everybody listening has to make a choice. When we talk about elections, obviously we make a choice. Who are we going to vote for? But in reality, what we're doing when we make a vote is we're saying, who do we choose to serve? I know somebody who makes their votes based on how it's going to affect their employment. They work in a government position. And their vote is based on whether or not they think the person is going to get them a raise or cost them money or possibly limit their job or something like that. That's their choice. But at the same time, if you're a Christian, your vote ought to say, is this person going to increase God's work? Is this vote going to increase and make it more possible to spread the gospel? Is this vote going to defend the unborn? Is this vote going to stand up for traditional biblical values or what? And so we choose who we're going to serve. Hey, I appreciate that call. We're running out of time here, and we've just got a few seconds left. And I apologize to our other caller, John in Cleveland. We're not going to get to you tonight. We've already got the music going, and we're going to run out of time here. But I want to encourage you to join us again next week for another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Hope you have a great week. Good night, and God bless. And
good night, and
tune in next week.
Thank you for your program.
Thank you. God bless. Good night.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, where your questions and comments are always welcome. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. You can contact Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286, or email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoll.us. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, Visit our website at latenightlive.maplenoel.us. That's latenightlive.maplenoel.us. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m., and Friday nights at 7 p.m. Join Pastor Al Davis again for more Late Night Live conversation next Sunday at 11 p.m. on Late Night Live with Pastor Al on AM 1220, The Word.